Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday morning show where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Andy Cohen, editor of Counselor Magazine, and we're having some fun here in the studio this morning. Isn't that right, Michelle Bell?
Yes.
Yes.
Michelle may sound like she just woke up, but indeed she was just laughing.
She's had her hands in her face. Hysterically. Yeah.
And that's Joe Haley, managing editor at ASI. Joe, how are you this morning?
Terrific, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages. How are you?
Awesome, Andy.
You weren't so sure about that, were you? We also have an editorial shadow with us today. Following our editorial craziness around the office today, Jill Darr, welcome. And how are you?
I'm excited to be here.
Good. Now, what do you expect to see here besides the silliness you've already seen in the studio this morning?
I already do freelance writing for a magazine, and I'm looking to see what it's like in an editorial office today.
Great. Well, hopefully we'll...
Well, don't go by us.
As I was going to say, hopefully you'll learn something, but don't take too much too seriously. All right. We are taking your calls today about holiday gifts. Yes, it is that time, indeed, to find out what are the best holiday gifts for this season. So give us a call if you have any questions about what kind of gifts to present to your clients or what kind of promotional programs to offer your clients for the holidays this season. Give us a ring at 215-953-4979 or email us at radio@asicentral.com. And if we take your call on the air, we'll give you a $25 Visa gift card. So give us a ring at 215-953-4979 with any holiday gift program questions. All right, Joe, before we get started, give us the lineup of what we're going to hear today.
Well, first I want to say, Andy, that working the board today is Craig Veltri, and answering your calls will be Facebook Vinnie Driscoll. But on tap today, other than our advice on good holiday gifts, we have 10 ways to get more sales from your existing clients. Also, opportunities for global marketers, and Michelle, the editor of Supplier Global Resource Magazine, has that story for us.
Stress I have a look on at global.
Global. I have a look at some unique ad and marketing strategies. We also look at a growth market, the hunting industry.
Get your guns out.
Oh, there you go. We're right on target with that one.
Oh,
boy. We're also going to look at 7 ways to make more money. We have some other topics. If we have time, we'll get to them. I have something to get off of my chest. But
your
first,
chest.
My chest. My chest. Listen, Kathy, it could be you this week, so settle down over there.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, we're going to...
It's a Joe rant about Kathy.
We're going to start it all off with the industry news in 60 seconds and Andy.
All right. Thank you, Joe. We begin this morning with product recall news. Chuck E. Cheese's, the children's themed restaurant chain, last week recalled 1.2 million promotional toys. The items were recalled as a safety precaution because pieces of the products could be swallowed by small children. The voluntary recall was sanctioned by the CPSC, and Chuck E. Cheese's said it directly imported the items from a Chinese factory. Counselor Top 40 supplier Ennis just reported positive financial results. For the 6 months ended August 31, the company said it increased its revenues by 6% and its profits by 56%. The third largest supplier in the industry said its apparel sector sales were particularly strong over the time period. Distributor acquisition news now. New York-based SmartSource has acquired selected assets of fellow distributor Stratacom. As part of the deal, SmartSource has added 35 Stratacom salespeople. The 130-person company now has annual revenues of about $55 million. Plus, top 40 suppliers Norwood and BIC North America announced a consolidation of the two companies' marketing departments. All trade marketing functions for both companies will now be overseen by one group, headed up by trade marketing director Lori Bauer. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, it's in the bag, isn't
it? It's in the bag. That's right. We have bags and totes.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to seeing that in Promogram today, right?
Thank you. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, now we are getting ready to take your phone calls about holiday gift ideas. Give us a call at 215-953-4979 and ask the host any questions you have about holiday gifts. We have a couple callers on the line already. On line one, we have Rachel. Rachel,
how are
you this morning?
Good. I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. What's your question for the host?
Well, usually when I give holiday gifts to my clients, I always give food. So this year I wanted to try something different, new, and I was wondering if you had any good, new, cool ideas.
Joe, what? New cool ideas straight
new
from the
cool
Joe
ideas.
Show.
New cool ideas, yeah. I love food. First of all, I don't know why you would stop giving food because it's something that could be shared by an entire office, and everyone enjoys a nice cookie, a nice cake.
Nice cookie.
A cookie?
Well, unless you're sharing it with everyone.
FYI, I think everyone, we're going to need more than one cookie apiece.
Absolutely. Okay. But I think everyone likes the food. If you think of other things, self-promotional items, I think you can't go wrong with a calendar. And there's lot of different themes out there, from Americana to landscapes to whatever you want, hot rods. And I think that it works as a good self-promotion piece, because if they put it in their office, you have that recognition all year long, 5 days a week. When someone's sitting there, they look at that calendar, and then when they start thinking of promotional campaigns coming up, they automatically think of you. It's almost like a Pavlov's dog reaction. It's like, ooh! Because they see that logo all year round. Don't laugh, Andy, but that's my take on it.
Gotcha.
I like calendars.
Calendars are good.
I like calendars. It's
traditional.
Calendars. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. I mean, think of how many calendars you actually have. Mm-hmm. You know, in the office, at home, right. You know, in different areas. I mean, most people have more than one. So.
Yep.
Well, Rachel, hopefully that gives you some ideas. Food and calendars, as Joe
absolutely.
Says.
Absolutely, I'm going for the calendars. Thanks, guys.
All right, good. Well, hang on the line so we can get your address for your Visa gift card. On line two, we have Brooke. Brooke, how are you today?
Good, how are you guys?
Good. She's happy.
You are awake this
how
morning.
How much coffee did you have?
Are you on coffee cup number 4 or 5?
Probably number 4.
Okay, good. What's your question for the host?
Well, I'm looking for gifts for my employees for the holiday. I don't really have a ton of money to spend, but I really want to give everybody something individually. Do you have any ideas? I have 9 employees.
You know, what I think is cool? Those the bags, and a couple suppliers in our industry have them. You could find them on ESP, I'm sure. Have the bags now that you can use through security, and you don't have to take your stuff out of the bags.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That might be good for salespeople that travel a lot who are your employees. I also think that it's okay to give different gifts to different employees. I think, you know, a sales
absolutely.
Team could get one type of gift. You know, customer service people could get a different type of gift. I think that you can vary it, and I think that's fine.
I have an idea, and don't scoff at me, Michelle, but...
is it food?
It is not food. It is.
Joe loves food.
I love the Snuggie, too. And
this
is you get to hug me.
No.
That is such a fun gift to have, and everyone who has one actually uses it and loves them. Do you have one?
Yes, and I do not use it.
Oh, don't poo-poo my
idea. I think
it's
a fun gift, though.
It is a fun gift.
One. I don't personally have
you can
one,
get them in
but
animal,
I wouldn't use it.
You can get them animal prints now, but you could have it, say you're in Cleveland, and everyone's a Cavaliers fan, or everyone's a fan of, you know, the local sports team. You can get it with that
and
logo on it there as well.
And you need Snuggies in Cleveland.
Well, Cleveland actually set the world record, which I think is just weird that they have world record
to
for
do
this,
with Cleveland.
For the highest number of people wearing Snuggies in one area.
Oh, yeah, that's
and,
right.
And the Cavaliers
that.
Did that.
I
but I think the Snuggies are fun gifts, and I guarantee it's not something that people would buy for themselves. But as a gift, I think they'd really enjoy it. I say Snuggies.
And I think Michelle's idea is really good, or any kind of luggage, actually, too. But that those – I know Mobile Edge and Leeds, I think, are the two suppliers that sell those
checkpoint-friendly
bags. Yeah.
I think they're great, just because mm-hmm. especially for salespeople or people who could travel to many shows, it makes it so much easier
definitely.
To go through security that with those.
Definitely.
All right, Brooke. Well, hopefully those ideas help you out, and good luck with the holiday season.
Great. Thanks, guys.
All right. We put this question about holiday gift ideas out in the social networks, and we got some questions back from the audience on Facebook. And let me read a couple of these. First, from Carol Simoli. The question is, everybody thinks just because it's holiday time that they are automatically getting a gift. So her question is, if a client hasn't had many orders with you for the year, should they still get a gift or not? I think it's actually a great question on whether, you know, how to differentiate between the clients you give. Joe, what do you think?
I think everyone should get a gift. I mean, you want to keep that relationship good, but do as Michelle said with your client. I mean, with your employees, you have different
yep.
gifts for different people. So you might have, you know, gifts for your best clients and gifts for your everyday clients
mm-hmm.
or the clients, you know, that are giving you smaller orders. But you don't want to forget them during the holiday times. You want to show that, look, we appreciate your business. I mean, times have been tough for a lot of companies out there, so they might have cut back on their budgets, and that's the reason that they're only getting – they're giving her smaller orders or fewer orders.
That's right.
But don't, you know, don't push those orders aside by saying, you know, you're not worth a gift at this holiday season.
Or even with the people that haven't been buying, send them something for Thanksgiving and just say, thanks for keeping us in mind the next time you need
mm-hmm.
blah, blah, blah.
You know, I've told a story in the past about a company I used to work for used to give out calendars to clients – past clients and people they've never done business with but have always tried to get them as business. And one year they decided to just give those calendars out to the people who they did business with throughout the year. And they got so many calls that, where's my calendar, where's my calendar? Because people liked the calendars and expected them. So they decided the following year to go back and send it to everyone, the people they did past business with. And some of those people did come back. So
I think it a quick and easy, and I would think inexpensive way to go would be those little calendars that you can just put them in mailers with the magnets on the back that you can just slap right up in your refrigerator. Mm-hmm. They're great.
Yeah, I think the message here is pretty clear that you want to recognize all of your clients and prospects. You know, like Joe said, you probably have a list of companies that you try to connect with all the time that aren't necessarily buying from you. Holiday season is the great way to great reason to get in touch with them and to, you know, let them know what you do. So it's a little self-promo could help at the holidays for that.
You know, absolutely. Remind them of all the things you do. You just don't sell promotional products. Mm-hmm. The marketing solutions, the fulfillment, the creative that you can give them. Remind them of all that stuff because they might, if they're harried at their work, might not realize that or have forgotten that. So the holiday time is a good time to recognize.
Absolutely. All right, we have another caller on line one. We have Carol. Carol, how are you today?
Oh, great. How are you?
Good. What's your question for the host here this morning?
I had a question around timing of sending of gifts. Should you send it how early, or should you send it the week before, or should the gifts arrive during holiday week or after holiday week? When do you think is the best for timing?
I would
take off sometimes.
You know, I think it's a great question, and I would suggest, Joe, you can follow up if you have a different thought, but I would suggest trying to do it almost as early as possible. You know, there's a lot of people that are going to be sending your clients gifts, you know, right at the sort of end of the holidays, right when everybody's getting gifts. So, like Kathy said, maybe use Thanksgiving as a way in. And Joe, what do you think?
That's mine. Mine is the week after Thanksgiving because you're first, you know, product gift, whatever, that they're going to receive, so you're going to be remembered. And as it gets closer to the holiday time, I mean, people have client lunches, they have, you know, dinners with their employees and stuff, and there's so much going on inside and outside of the company, so it could get lost in like, here's something else. But if you do it early enough, I think it's going to stick out.
Or
so,
even send it like the second week in January or whatever, Happy New Year type of gift.
Yeah, or be completely different and send it for Thanksgiving or send it for a holiday that's not the end of the year holiday.
Mm-hmm. Carol, let me ask you, what have you done in the past as far as timing is concerned?
I've usually tried, sometimes I try to find out if they're going to be around, and that based on their schedule, I try to plan it accordingly. But I was thinking, like you said, maybe early in advance, this way would prod them to order also earlier.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to go. The more the earlier you can do it, the better you can kind of plan out your program and you know, clients probably appreciate getting things at a time when maybe they're not inundated with gifts from other people.
Yeah, but you want to get your clients to start thinking about holiday gift giving right now. You don't want to wait until the last minute. Because what happens, if you're too hairy and the supplier can't do that order, then they're going to go to retail and get something, and you don't want that. You want them to buy through you, so I'd get them thinking about the holiday gifts now.
Absolutely. All right, Carol, well, hang on the line so Vinny can get your information for your Visa gift card.
Okay, thanks.
All right, well, now we're going to take a break to hear from our show sponsor, I Promote You. But when we get back, we're going to talk about ways to get more sales from existing clients.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
All right, welcome back to the Tuesday morning show on ASI Radio. Give us a call at 215-953-4979. We were talking about holiday gifts, but give us a call to get in on the fun with any topic that you have this morning. Right now, Kathy, we're going to talk about the best ways to get more sales from existing clients. So what can you tell us?
Well, Andy, first, of course, you're supposed to think lifetime value, not transactional value. That makes common sense.
I always do.
Well, good. I'm glad. To keep customers coming back to one bicycle shop, for instance, they offer an incentive to parents who buy their children's bikes. They credit the full cost of last year's bike toward an upgrade every year up to a 20-inch wheel. Now, they don't make much money on this until they start buying more bikes. But in the interim, they're also the parents are buying accessories and other things for the bikes, and they're also building goodwill with their customers. Go for a no-brainer upsell. We have a great article coming up in October Advantages about this. And no-brainers in this industry would be things like packaging with gifts, hangers with jackets, coffee with the coffee mug, things like that. Pen with journal, you know. Offer complimentary products or services in this industry. Again, that would include copywriting, graphic design, things like that. some PR. Stay in touch. Sometimes people forget to stay in touch with their best customers, or they don't have the time, but stay in touch with them in a low-pressure way as often as you can. And also, Joe touched on this before, remind customers of everything you offer. Never assume that even your most reliable customers are completely aware of all the services you offer. So one company in particular, they include a list of their services on kind of a checklist and with each invoice, and they check off the services that the customer actually paid for from them. But this lets them know all the services that are available, which I think is a great idea.
That is a great idea. Mm-hmm. I heard of a ticket promotion this morning that the National Hockey League, one of the National Hockey League teams, is doing. Has anybody heard of this from the St. Louis Blues?
No.
An amazing ticket promotion. They are offering, if you buy a season ticket right now, they say pay us half for the cost of the ticket now, and pay us the other half when we make the playoffs. That's in like April or something like that. The question, obvious follow-up question, well, what if they don't make the playoffs?
Right.
It's free. How about that?
The second half of the...
Well, that's right. You don't have to pay the second half. So
I think all but one team makes the playoffs, though.
Well, yes, a lot of teams make the playoffs, but I don't even know if they made the playoffs last year or not. But I think it's just an interesting reward to their, you know, to their clients.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
And you don't hear sports teams doing things like that too much. So anyway, pretty interesting. All right, Michelle, Global Marketplace. You just... put the finishing touches on your international issue for Supplier Global Resource. So what can you tell us about opportunities for global marketers that are out there today?
Well, I think that this is people, their first inclination may be to pull back because of the economy, but actually no. This is a really good time to market overseas if you're interested in those markets. Most people think China and India. There are many other markets that are much more attractive, I would say, starting with, as Goldman Sachs calls them, the N11, Bangladesh, Egypt, Indonesia, Iran, believe it or not, Mexico, Nigeria, Pakistan, the Philippines, South Korea, Turkey, and Vietnam. These
Why are
countries,
they the N11?
Because there's 11 of them, and they're nice.
I didn't get
they're
the
nuclear.
N. I thought they were all going to start with N or something.
They're naughty. Iran, it's naughty.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead,
Michelle. They all have higher than normal or higher than average growth for each market. Of course, there's a cost of entry when you do new business overseas, and there's some things that you should look out for. First and foremost, remember that what we do here in North America isn't always going to work in different markets, so you need to have people on the ground over there. Mm-hmm. You can't market remotely. You have to have staff over there if you want to explore those markets. But they do all have amazing growth, and there is opportunity there because they all love American products. American
Absolutely.
Products are known for high quality. American products are known for, I would debate this, for being cool. But there you have it. Patience is a virtue.
We have cool.
We have, yes, we do have some cool. Patience is a virtue. Marketing overseas is not going to show returns right overnight. So you're going to have to be there for a while. It's going to cost money. But there is huge growth opportunities over there. I'll put this whole article on our website, on asicentral.com/radio.
Cool.
The one that still confuses me is Iran.
What, as being a market?
Yeah, I mean, because there's sanctions, you know, and they're not like, friendly to this country. It's interesting.
Well, here's an example that the guy who wrote this article gave. He said, you know, it's deceptive because you see these countries on the news and they look poverty-stricken, and many of them are in some areas. However, you go into the house and many of them have, like, 3 flat-screen TVs and satellite dishes.
Well, Iran is far from poverty-stricken.
True.
That's
true.
For sure. And I have read articles that talk about Iran consumers in Iran buying American products, electronics mostly. So that's probably one of the sectors that has penetrated the Iran market. So there you go, Joe.
Their president's in New York, too.
I know.
Yes.
Can you say his last name?
Ahmadinejad.
Yes. He got a new suit, too. It was on CNN.
Slow news day.
Joe's obsessed.
He's got this gray suit instead of that like beige windbreaker he wears.
Yeah.
So.
Be that as it may,
okay.
American-made products really do have quite the cachet in different global markets, so the opportunity is there.
Okay, moving on from the sartorial choices of the president of Iran, Joe.
Andy.
Unique ad and marketing strategies.
Yeah.
What kind of strategies can we give to the audience?
Well, we have 3 of them here, and it's pretty interesting. They're all different. If everyone hasn't heard, the state of New Jersey cut $820 million from their education budget. And because of that, schools are looking...
How much?
$820 million from the education budget. Schools are looking to raise revenue, so they have this legislation going through it's almost passed, that they'll allow ads on the side of school buses in New Jersey. And it's buses that the Jersey schools own or lease. And the half of the money has to go to offset the fuel cost. The other half can be whatever the schools want to do with it. And they should raise, with the 70 buses in this one school district, $350,000. Now, they won't take political advertising, alcohol or tobacco advertising as well. But it's an interesting opportunity for marketers out there to use the school bus to target parents. And a way that they can follow up with promotional products is also put that logo on pencils that that company would donate to the school. So say it's the local milk manufacturer, the milk producer, they would drink milk on the side of the bus from whatever the dairy is, and then they can also provide the school with free pencils that would have that same message on there. So they're doing something good for the students, they're paying for the advertising that goes to the school budgets, and you know, they're getting their name out there.
I think it's a great idea. My son's school district had to cut its budget too, and I think they made a ridiculously silly choice. They ended up, among other budget cuts, they ended up not printing the calendars anymore that they send out to all the families, mm-hmm. you know, with all the school dates right. on it and, yep. and stuff like that. And now instead you could print it out yourself online. You know, it's on the mm-hmm. website. Yeah, but it's a missed opportunity there. Mm-hmm. You know, sell some advertising, and it's not going to, you know, sell appropriate advertising,
sure,
school exactly. appropriate advertising, and you can make some money on it.
Sure,
instead of just cutting the printing costs, which is all they did. Nobody's being creative.
Yeah, it gives marketers an opportunity, it gives schools an opportunity, and it does. It makes sense. And six states already allow it. So Jersey could be state number 7. Another one, we've talked about this guy in the past, but he's a professional t-shirt wearer, and on January 1st, yep. he'll wear a t-shirt for someone for $1, and it goes up $1 for each day, and he's booked for the entire year. This year, he's hiring 4 other t-shirt wearers who will get paid $35,000 to wear t-shirts.
I could do that.
But what they also do, they also promise for the day that they wear
Did
the
Kathy
t-shirt.
Just give in a resignation notice?
Well, see ya. The other thing you have to do, you have to wear the corporation's logo t-shirt. Then you also have to tweet about it. You have to go on Facebook and tell all your friends about the company about it. And they want you to also post videos on YouTube about the company. So they're getting their money's worth. So the opportunity there for the distributors are the t-shirts. The guy wears the t-shirt. He wears one t-shirt for one day. But if you can get viral buzz with some of those YouTube videos, then there might be, you know, people who want that t-shirt no matter what the company is. If it's got a cool graphic or something on it, more people might want it. So there's opportunity for our industry. And then finally, Andy, you live in New York City.
Just outside,
And
yes.
did you get one of these mailed campaigns? It was from Carl
Palladino.
Palladino. He sent out 200,000 garbage Senate scratch and sniff.
Yeah.
You know, campaign
direct
flyers. Direct
mail.
Thank you. Yeah. Direct mail.
I got
you
back here.
Yes. Anyway, so it all smells like garbage because there's 7 politicians on there who've, you know, stink to high heavens. 6 of them been investigated or something like that. So it's just a unique opportunity there.
I think it's very creative, but it's New York politics to a T.
At least he's.
It ties in.
I mean, but he got press for it and
he
he's
did.
Standing
sure.
out and he's
he
being
did.
Creative.
Absolutely. I think he's being creative.
Anyone a fan of John Waters?
I mm-hmm. don't know who that is.
Okay. Has anyone seen the movie?
The filmmaker?
Oh.
Yeah, filmmaker.
Yes. Okay.
He had a movie called Polyester.
About a politician.
Hairspray.
Hairspray, right. He actually had a scratch and sniff movie where you go into the uh-huh. movie theater and you get a ticket and they give you a scratch and sniff card and they talk about it because it's filmed in Odorama. And when a number flashes up, you scratch the adjacent number there and you smell it. And they talk about it as it's zooming in on a rose. So the whole movie goes on. He's kind of got a little demented sense of humor.
Was that back in the days of the talkies when you used to go to the
Yes. But it was funny. I actually still have my card from that.
Very nice.
Yes.
All right, Michelle. Distributors are always looking for new markets to target. And
funny,
as Joe said, target practice.
Stuff.
So I understand you have your eye on a new market.
Yeah, it's huge, actually. Who knew? The hunting industry. Growing by leaps and bounds. Nationwide, spending on hunting gear is soaring, says the National Shooting Sports Foundation. The Firearms and Ammunition Industry Economic Impact Report says that the industry generated $27.8 billion in 2009 as compared to $19.1 billion in 2008. That's a
wow,
lot.
Wow, that's yes,
huge.
Wow.
The reason for this is that they are extrapolating that with the economy, hunting helps on the grocery bills because, you know, catching your own food down by the cement pond, I suppose. The number of licenses.
Eat what you catch.
Yeah, exactly. The number of licenses are increasing. Simultaneously, they are increasing the number of cost per license. But still, they're increasing dramatically, the numbers of licenses. And it just keeps going up. Experts say they expect this year alone another 10% growth.
There you go, a growth idea for distributors, the hunting market.
Well, more of my friends are hunting now, too, and they're all, you know, suburban guys, not, you know, rural guys, so it's interesting. And they all, if they get a deer, they get it butchered, and it's meat for a year.
Also, there's a lot to be said for, as they say in this article, again, I'll put it on our website, there's a lot of tradition involved in it as far as families. A lot of them do it together. A lot of them say it's an inexpensive way to spend time together and a relaxing source of downtime.
Central PA, Mondays after Thanksgiving are closed. Schools are closed because of the opening of doe season.
Really?
And, yeah, public schools close, yeah.
Don't. Bambi's mother?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, we move on from The Simpsons.
Very good.
More opportunities for distributors. Kathy, we have 7 ways to make more money. Tell us what you know.
This is for all of us, Andy.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm listening.
First of all,
bring it on.
Walk taller. Stand up straight. Okay?
Height Michelle is equated. And I are, all of us are kind of handcuffed there.
Yeah, we're all handicapped. We literally look up to people who are taller, and every extra inch in height adds another $789 in annual income. What do you think about that? Someone who's 6 feet tall.
Wait, what? Every inch adds
every
up to
inch
what?
In height adds another $789 in annual income.
My shoes are worth it. See that?
See? Someone who's 6 feet tall earns nearly $166,000 more during a 30-year career than someone who's 5'5 or under, Joe. You got to start making your heels work for you, Joe.
Thank you, yes.
This is good for Joe. Attend religious services. You might want to pray for a bigger paycheck. Studies find that doubling church attendance increased income by 9.1%. And the reasons they're given for this is going to religious services helps you build social networks, and it also decreases your stress, you know, before the week starts. Another thing is become a lefty if you're a man. Lefties earned 5% more than righties on
average. None of these are things I can really do.
Well, how about can you go blonde, Andy? Oh, no, sorry.
We've got a laugh track all of a sudden.
Nice. Anyway, blondes, whether or not they have more fun, blondes earn 7% more than brunettes and redheads. Sucks for us, Michelle. Oh, this is a good one for
just
all of us.
Just change it.
Drink up. A recent foundation report found that male drinkers earn 10% more than abstainers, while women who celebrate happy hour earn 14% more.
See, now we're talking.
And you live longer. Drinkers live longer, too.
Yeah, drinkers do, Joe.
Now we've got a strategy I can actually do.
There you go.
There you have it.
All right, well, our resident ranter, Joe Haley, is now going to discuss how to complain effectively.
Yeah, okay, now, surprisingly, this was not written by Michelle Bell. No, it's not rant time yet. This isn't rant time. This is one of my topics.
Oh, it is?
I'm
confused too, Craig.
It's how to complain effectively. As customers, we should also learn to do a better job at articulating what went wrong and what a company can do to make it better. So here's some tips. One, you need to be part of the solution. Don't be part of the problem. Timing. Timing's everything. So if a supplier, if your distributor gets an order wrong, you need to bring that up to them as soon as you know that it's happened. Also, use the appropriate medium. If you're used to being in contact with the supplier via email, do it via email. If it's over the phone, do it over the phone. Don't go on and on. Kind of pinpoint what the problem is. Let them know what the problem is exactly. Give them a best case scenario. In other words, this is what you need to do to resolve this issue. And also, be hard on the issue, but soft on the people, okay? You know the problem stinks, you want it fixed, but this customer service rep can be your advocate, so don't take it out on them. And they say too many people have problems with the way they complain. One is being the squeaky wheel, which is, in other words, this person complains about everything. You know, there's always something wrong with this. There's always something wrong with that. It's like the person who cried wolf, Michelle. That would be you.
Bitchy wheel gets the grease. I stand by that statement.
The other thing you don't want to do is claim special circumstances, because everyone of this, supplier or whoever's clients are special. So, you're no more special than the other guy. Do the name dropping. You know, no one wants to hear, hey, I know Andy Cohen. You know, Andy Cohen's
a good
friend of mine.
That's going to get you somewhere.
It will the first time. After that, people are like, who cares? Don't list all the things that went wrong. If you've had problems over the last 5 years but have never brought it up to whoever you're complaining to, don't bring them up. It doesn't make a difference. Talk to them about what the problem is at hand. And also, don't threaten to leave as a customer, they say, because unless you're willing to do so, you're just going to get a shoulder shrug. So there's effective ways to complain about something, whether it's a supplier to a distributor to a supplier, whatever it is.
And Joe knows the ways the effective ways intimately, right?
Yes.
There you go. All right, Michelle.
Yes.
You have. Are you awake?
I am.
You're short of awake.
Good morning.
Okay, good. Well, we only need you for a couple more minutes. You have a contest in Supplier Global Resource going now, looking for the best supplier salespeople. So, what can you tell us about that?
I do. I'd like to ask all distributors out there, if you have a supplier sales rep who goes over and above and who is just there for you 24/7 and, you know, is able to kind of work miracles and get orders where they need to be in a short amount of time, send me their names and some information about them as to why you think they should win our Global Resource Supplier Sales Rep of the Year. And my email address is mbell@asicentral.com. The contest, we're going to decide the winner in the next few weeks, so send me your nominations now. And I think it's a good chance to laud the supplier sales reps who right now I don't think we had a contest for them.
Nope.
No.
So this is new for us.
All right. Well, you know a great supplier salesperson that you deal with. Send an email to Michelle at mbell@asicentral.com and let her know about it. All right. We have just enough time left for our favorite segment, Joe's Rant. Joe, Andy, what are you complaining about today?
I'm not complaining, Andy. I'm ranting. My 16-year-old is driving.
Uh-huh.
Everyone, hold me. Not so as he only has his learner's permit. Over the last month, though, I've been forced to ride shotgun. And, wow, let me tell you, I never knew how close you could actually get to another car on the right-hand side of the road. And as my life has flashed before my eyes while I depress that imaginary brake, I am ever mindful of these three thoughtless drivers on the road. To wit, the digger. This is the person who at every red light has to dig in some bottomless pit of a bag, tote, or whatever they have in their car. And when the light turns green, the digger is still at it and totally clueless that the light has changed. Did she not know this was eventually going to turn green? And I did say
shit.
I did say shit. The sightseer. The sightseer is more interested in what's happening in and around where he is at the moment. Speed limit's 40, but he doesn't care because, hey, look at that. There's someone cutting their grass. Isn't that interesting?
That's Steve.
Yes. These easily distracted people should just get little shocks to get them refocused when they're driving.
You just install those in the seats.
There you go. It's the I'm confused person. Do I turn here? No, wait. Maybe I need to be in this lane. Hold on. I need to go in this parking lot. No, not that one. This one, I think. It just goes on and on and on, and somehow they always follow us. So what to do? What to do? For me, I need to remain calm and not to inadvertently teach my son bad driving habits.
Uh-oh. Good luck with that.
Because I've driven with you. You drive like a bat out of
that.
Yeah, he
that
does.
Ship has sailed, brother.
Until then, we have to deal with the guy who's in a rush, who's always behind us, and the guy that's always taking his time for somehow always seems to be in front of us.
I was behind you once, and I thought you were playing air drums, but no, you were wildly gesticulating.
No, I was playing air drums.
All right.
We're singing.
Unfortunately, we are out of time for today. Please make sure to join us tomorrow, actually Wednesday at 10:30, for our virtual trade show radio show. You can also register for the virtual trade show, which takes place tomorrow from 10 to 3 at asicentral.com/VTS. We'll see you tomorrow.